mentioned, I think we all know that this is a July 4 weekend, and we call it Independence Weekend. We celebrate the Independence Day. And I don't know how many of you can sing the national anthem. I'm not asking you to sing right here. we're supposed to worship God. However, those of you, don't be surprised, not too many people can sing the whole national anthem. Those of you watch a lot of ball games, you can sing the, you may be able to sing the first stanza. And most of you know how it ends, by the way, though. Right? How does it end? America is the land of the free. Hello, Americans. Are you guys citizens? The land of the free and the home of the brave. I think this is it ends up beautifully and sums up tells us that how this nation was found and established. It was for freedom. And this freedom is a hard-earned freedom fought by our brave founding fathers. And this freedom has to be protected and maintained with boldness. As we celebrate this holiday, I think it's important to realize, to remember that there are about, according to the study, there are about 60 to 100,000 people lost their lives during this war. Now, may not sound a lot, a big number to you, but just remember the entire American population at that time was about only 2 million. So that accounts for 5% of the population that they shed their blood and they sacrificed their life for this freedom. But not all Americans wanted this freedom for independence from England. I also learned that about 15 to 20% of the population at that time, they want to remain loyal to England. And this is so-called the British Loyalists. So after the Revolutionary War, what happened to these British Loyalists? Some of them moved to Florida at that time so that they're far away from the American government. A lot of them moved to Canada, Nova Scotia. Somebody just came back from a cruise from Nova Scotia. Okay, so that's where the British Loyalists settled. They did not feel that they need this freedom. Actually, they dissented it. And also, even after the Independence War, this Revolution War, not everyone was free. I'm sure you all know that. A lot of people were still living in slavery at that time. Not until 100 years later. It was another major war. We all know this, a civil war. And a lot of people have sacrificed their lives. They said that anywhere between 650,000 to a million people lost their lives during the civil war. Again, it was about 2% of the population at that time. A very heavy price was paid for this freedom. But again, surprisingly, a lot of the people still chose to remain living in slavery after the Civil War. Can you imagine that? They were set free, but they chose to continue to live in slavery for many, many years. Now, the core of the gospel is also about freedom. I don't know if you realize, Jesus has come to set us free, to bring us the freedom. And there's different kind of freedom. It's the best kind of freedom. But first of all, I want to share with you the different kind of freedom. First of all, you have national freedom, like how America was independent from the British government, so the nation becomes independent and set free. Even today, right now, there are not too many nations out there, they're enjoying their own sovereignty. A lot of the weak or developing countries, they are heavily influenced by the world powers. So they don't really have their own national freedom. And then you have political freedom. And that's a freedom that to express your political point of view, you can choose to vote your politician, the government, whoever's in government. You can voice your resentment, disagreement, and your freedom of speech and thoughts is protected by the First Amendment right. And also then we have come with the First Amendment protection, that we have religious freedom, freedom to worship or not to worship. Now, people don't realize there's another kind of freedom called financial freedom. And that's a lot of, most of the people here looking after what's financial freedom. Financial freedom is when you are as rich as Donald Trump. You can do anything you want and money is not an object for you. That's financial freedom. So you know that not too many people enjoy financial freedom yet. And then you have spiritual freedom. What is spiritual freedom? Spiritual freedom will be free from anxiety, free from fear. You can live in peace and joy. And most of all, you're free to achieve, to live a life that is intended and purpose for you by God. So we all create in God's image. We're not supposed to walk around long face with worries, with hatred, anger. That's because sin has corrupted the world and corrupted our character and corrupted the people around us. So we are constantly inflicting pain and hurt with one another. When we are living in this world, we are being dragged, subdued by our environment. We cannot transcend. It's sad. And Jesus paid a heavy price for us by sacrificing his own life so that we can be set free. At the same time, a lot of people still refuse to take advantage of this offer, like today's passage. Today's passage is from the Gospel of John. The first two verses it said, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" Two verses, but let me spend some time to explain to you because it's loaded. First of all, we gotta please know that Jesus is not talking to all the people surrounding him at the time. As usual, when Jesus talks, he has an intended audience. He's not talking, he's not preaching to everyone. He has certain people in his mind. Right here, before this chapter, he was just rebuking the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders. And those are Jews. But this particular passage, his intended audience is a certain Jews out of the entire audience out there. And these Jews believe in his preaching. See, not all the Jews believed him. Many mocked him. You read the Bible, you read the gospel, you know that a lot of people kind of told him, "Look, that's no good thing coming from Nazareth. Who are you?" And the Jewish leaders, the elite, the Pharisees, the priests, the Sadducees, they were actually trying to kill him. Now, in the chapter 7, you'll have the Bible, you can go there and you can find out from yourself. Verse 25 to 26 and verse 45 to 46, the Apostle John actually tells you that the high priest already had the temple guard dispatched. They were already looking for an opportunity to arrest Jesus and then put him to death. Jesus knew that. He knew it. That's why he wanted to take the opportunity to talk to the people, believe him, because he knew that his days were numbered. When he returned to Jerusalem, he was prepared to die. This passage actually took place only a few months before the cross, before he was crucified. So Jesus was talking to those Jews who believed him. And he wanted them to understand and realize, he said, "You who believed my preaching, that is very good. That's a good thing that you believe me, because faith begins with believing." The gospel, the only way for us to benefit from the gospel is through faith in Jesus. And it's by God's grace. But what is faith? Faith begins with believing. Believing that Jesus is Christ, He is Son of God, and that His teaching is God's word and it is true. But that is intellectual understanding, what we call the head knowledge. That's the only starting point of faith. It is important because the Bible says it clearly. Ordinary person cannot understand and believe Jesus' teaching. When Jesus preached, most of the people will reject Him, except if you are enlightened by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, unless you are born again, regenerate, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. So when you are able to see the kingdom of heaven, when you can see that what Jesus is preaching to you makes sense, the Holy Spirit already is opening up your eyes so that the blind can see, the deaf can hear. It's a very, very good sign. But Jesus said, that's not good enough. And don't stop right there. The next thing you need to do is you need to abide in His word. What does that mean? Abide in. Continue. Remain. That means you have to put your intellectual faith into practice. You put your head knowledge into your heart knowledge. Because faith without action is dead. It says in the Bible. Dead faith is not a saving faith. There's a clear difference between genuine faith and superficial faith. Superficial faith is sitting here, you are analyzing and saying, eh, it makes sense. It's okay. Genuine faith is, I trust in you and I follow you. Jesus did not come here to ask you and me to approve His preaching. You don't understand. He doesn't need you to believe His preaching. The believing is like, hey, what you say makes sense. Good. What He wants is trust in Him. If you truly believe in Him, you have to do what He tells you. Otherwise, you're not truly believing Him. It's like when you have an illness, you go to a doctor for a diagnosis. The doctor is telling you that you have this symptom, and therefore you have this problem. But I can heal you. Just do this and that and that and that. Take this pill and go home and drink some water and stay rest. And you say, I believe in you. But I'm not going to take the pill that you gave me. I'm not going to do anything you tell me. What does that mean? That you're not trusting your doctor. When the doctor says you want to do well, you want to get well, you have to do this. He said, I'm not doing it. And that's a fickle faith. That's superficial faith. So now likewise, for us to benefit from the gospel, to be set free totally, we have to put God, the Jesus word, into practice. Do what He tells you to do. We remember He's been telling us that we have to be pure in our heart. No idols. Set away from yourself from idols. Be kind to other people and love one another. He wants us to do that. Now, if you put this all in practice, they all make sense. These are all good stuff. We can sit here and say, this is a good teaching. But that's not going to help you. You have to put them in practice, like going to the gym, watching all the equipment, seeing how people pump the iron, and say, that's good stuff. Until you go and actually and live the way yourself and do it day in and day out, you're not going to see any benefit on you. Now, however, if you put Jesus' word into practice, what's going to happen to you? You're going to go through a different lifestyle. A different lifestyle. Instead of hating people, you start to love people. Instead of looking to revenge, you're looking to forgive. Now, this new slide, there's a word for that. It's called repentance. Repent. You're changing your old style with a new style. And Jesus said, if you truly believe in me, you put my teachings in practice, then you would know the truth and the truth will set me free. What does it mean here? It means that you personally know, you personally experience the power of God. This word know in Greek, kenosos, it does not mean the same meaning as a know in English. In English, the know is basically if you intellectually intellectually understand something is no. But in the Greek, this no is something that you have to go through a very intimate relationship, and then you get to know. It's a personal knowledge, very personal. Priscilla just gave birth 2 days ago. Well, I lost track. 2 days ago. So she personally went through the labor pain, the birth pain, so now she knows what birth pain is. Guys, you never know. You can study it, you can read about it, you'll never know. Girls, you never know until you're a mom. And kids, you'll never know how much you hurt your parents until you become a parent. And then you know. That's kenoskos. That's the no. It's not like reading a book, like, I learned about this. That's not the way that the word no being used in the New Testament Bible. So this no means, this word no, that means you have to go through it. And then you know what I'm talking about. Have you heard about the Christian joy and love and the peace being written in the Bible? You can read about it. You can listen to other people's testimonies. You never know until you personally go through it. And then you know Jesus' word is so powerful. It is true. It's not intellectually true, but personally you can testify it's true. When you're able to do that, you're very confident. And also, it also means that you're going to have a personal relationship with Jesus, because Jesus Christ himself is true. This is profound. The biblical truth is not merely a concept. Jesus himself is true. True is a person. Remember what Jesus said? He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Jesus is truth. So when Jesus said, you know the truth, that means you know Jesus personally. And then you are his disciples. Christ's disciples, there's a modern name for that. We don't call people Christ's disciples anymore. With a new name called Christian. Christian means you are dedicated to follow Jesus. You have a personal relationship with Jesus. And that's the mystery of Christianity. The benefit of Christianity, the gospel, the good news, the salvation, is not come by reading some books. It's by having a personal relationship with Jesus, by knowing him and following him. Now, I want to spend some time and talk about it because I know that a lot of campus ministry, a lot of modern churches, we have watered down the gospel, including myself when I was ignorant. I just try to explain the gospel to people and try to convince them and say the sinner's prayer with me. Confess your sin and accept Jesus Christ into your heart, and then you'll be saved. It's called easy believism. Today, is I feel very bad that why I used to do that, because this kind of so-called belief in salvation is not supported by the Bible. The Bible never said that. The Bible said repent, and then you baptize. The repentance is very important. Your salvation is in your repentance. When you repent, Jesus is going to give you a new life because you are with him. You're sharing the life with him, you're gonna see a new lifestyle and character in you. It does not mean that you become sinless and perfect immediately, by no means. Most of the people, when they go through the baptism, they're a young baby. It's just the beginning of the walk. Like baby Jackson can't even do what baby Ryan was doing. Baby Ryan was here. It's not here anymore. Right? Baby Jackson can't even Ryan right now can't even change his own diaper. But sooner or later, to become just like every one of you, that you'll be independent, you'll be full grown. A Christian the same way. Eventually, every single one will become more Christ-like. You'll see the change in your life. But there's no change in your life, and probably you don't have this spiritual life in you. But again, Jesus has come to call you to follow him. You either follow him, or you're not following him. There's no halfway. There's no half Christian. There's no kind of question. Either you are or you are not. It's an invitation by Jesus. But then the Jews rejected the invitation. In verse 33, they answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. So how is that you say you'll become set free?" Now, they're basically saying, thanks, no thanks. We don't want to put your words into practice. We don't want to change our lifestyle. Now, this is a kind of interesting answer because, first of all, we know that the Jews, they were no strangers to be living in slavery. First of all, they were slaves when they're in Egypt. And then they were slaves under Assyria and the Babylonians. And then as Jesus was talking to them, they were actually being persecuted and living in a lifestyle similar to slavery under the Roman Empire and King Herod. So what are they talking about? That we have never been enslaved to anyone. You got to give the Jews more credit than we have been giving them. We always think that Jews are very dumb. They were not. They were actually a lot more astute than we realize. It took a lot of scholars, theologians, to pass this passage and then realize that Jesus is talking about spiritual freedom here. He's not talking about Independence Day, July 4. He's not talking about political freedom. He's not talking about financial freedom. He's talking about spiritual freedom. The Jews already picked it up. That's why he said, we've never been enslaved to anyone. And then they back it up substantially with the argument that we are offspring of Abraham. They knew that Jesus is not talking about political freedom. If that's the case, they wanted it right away. That's the idea of the Messiah supposed to do. But they knew that Jesus is not talking about that. Spiritual freedom. So that's why they said, we are Abraham. We're Abraham's children. We are given the covenant with God, marked by circumcision. We are already free. We are free to worship God. Now, we can't take it for granted today. Back then, not everyone can worship the one and true God. In a temple, the Gentiles are blocked outside. They have the temple. Gentiles, called, they are not allowed to approach the holy place. Only the Jews can enter the court to offer sacrifices. So for them, they are already privileged. They are free to worship the one and true God. And life is so good. They're still allowed to worship their God. Some of them, they're doing pretty okay socially, even though there are certain things that they could not participate. But however, if you want them to turn around and go for Jesus' teaching is good and nice to hear, but it's counterintuitive. It's very hard to practice, in a sense, because you can reflect on your own. We all know that forgiveness is good. We just shared a passage on forgiveness not too long ago. How many of you are ready to let go of your hurt? How many of you have taken the initiative to tell the person who offended you and say, "I have forgiven you"? Probably none. Forgiveness is hard. You want revenge. And Jesus, even more, he said, if somebody slapped you in the face, what do? Turn the other cheek. Win him over by love. He said, over my dead body. That's very hard. Worse yet, and Jesus said, you have to control your thoughts. Even though you have unwholesome thought in your heart, it's already a sin. Anger equals to murder. Lust equals to adultery. If anything that might tempt you to prone to sin, get rid of it. That means most of you have to throw away your video game, your computer. How many of you say, take my life before that, right? Donald Trump, you can't take away his Twitter account, he'll be dead. Some of you will be YouTube account, or Netflix. Worse yet, Jesus said, if your arm is causing you to sin, cut it off. So these people basically kind of like, this is just too much to ask for. And Jesus wants them not to go after the worldly fame and wealth, and just focus on him, and everything would be fine. So, but they did not see a major crisis. Why do I want to rock the boat? You see, there's no need for them to make drastic change. Ignorance and lead to complacency. And complacency is a great hindrance for people to benefit from the gospel. And complacency will hinder you from any personal gain and personal growth. I think you all understand that. Remember what I said, the 15 to 20% of the British loyalists, they could not understand why bother to have America to be independent. And then those people continue to live in slavery. Why would they do that? Because their life is good. I don't want changes. Whatever is happening right now is just good enough for me. And disbelieving Jews will be refused to make the changes because they really did not see the burning desire to do it. So they turned down Jesus' invitation to follow him. And Jesus called them out, called out their ignorance and complacency. Verse 34 to 36, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you're offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from my father." Remember what I said? Every time that Jesus said he has an intended audience, I believe that this few verses, he's not simply speaking to those believing Jews 2,000 years ago. He's speaking to us today also. He's saying, basically saying, look, you gotta understand. You don't understand. You're ignorant, and that's why you fall into this false complacency. Everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. What does that mean? You, the Jews, have the law, and today we have the Bible. You know what is right and what is wrong. You know that you're commanded to honor your parents. You're commanded not to covet, not to be jealous and envious. You're commanded not to have idols in your life. And you should worship God wholeheartedly. In fact, Jesus told us that we are supposed to worship him in spirit and in truth. How many of us can actually do that day in and day out? Now, if you constantly disobeying these commands without even thinking about it, there's only one reason. Because you don't want to obey. You want to obey your own body. You follow what your body wants you to do. So you want to play video game, you go play video game. That's your idol. You want to go on YouTube and kill 10 hours, you just burn 10 hours. When you somebody have a promotion, a new iPhone, a new car, you might say, "I want it too." When someone's getting a promotion, getting accepted by a brand name school, you cannot rejoice with the person because you deep down you're jealous. You're allowing your body to take over, your fleshy desire to take over you. And everyone who practices sin like that is a slave to sin. Now, it does not mean that Christians are sinless. It's impossible to be sinless. But what it means is you don't even try to fight against it. You don't even think about that you're not supposed to do it. And you act out your fleshly desires without trying to break away from it. What does that make you? That makes you a slave to sin. Because only a slave would follow the master's command without questioning or any attempt to disobey. So you fall to casual sins from time to time to time to time. And you think about it. You're trying to fight against it. You are a slave to sin. It's so natural to you. And Jesus said, "You are blind by your ignorance and complacency. You live like a slave, you don't even realize. Yes, you are privileged. You are children of Abraham. But your privilege cannot save you. The privilege only put you in a better position. That's why when Jesus came, he went to the Jews first. But you're blinded by your privilege, blinded by your complacency. You a slave, then you are actually children of the devil. Jesus actually called them out in the next passage. I think it's in verse 47 or something like that. You can look it up. Because why? Because the devil means great liar. You are children of the devil because you are living in a big lie, a self-deception. You think that you're okay, but you are not okay. And eventually, you'll be shut out of the kingdom of heaven because a slave does not remain in the house forever. A slave does not remain in the house forever. Right now, you're still receiving God's grace. Everybody in this world, believers and non-believers, Christians and non-Christians, we are living under God's grace. It's called common grace. Right? We receive the same sunshine. When we need water, God gives you rain. Good people or bad people, you're good, you're a kind-hearted person or a wicked person, you receive the same rainfall. That's called common grace. We all are living in God's grace. But one day, you'll be shut out and cut out, rejected. We call it eternal judgment. A slave does not remain in the house forever. Only the Son can set you free, because Jesus is the Son of God. He's the owner of the household. Jesus is the creator of the universe. He came down here to save us. He owns everything. So he himself, he tells you that I want you to be in my household. The Son sets you free. You'll be free indeed. And he also has shown you how. He himself has overcome the temptation of sins. And how did he do that? He wants us to do the same way. First of all, by holding on to the word of God, instead of looking at what the world wants you to do and what you want. And then secondly, by holding on to the word itself is not enough. By relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. And he has promised you the same power, the Holy Spirit, if you decide to follow him. So he set you free from the bondage of sin. And once you are able to set free from the bondage of sin, there are tremendous benefits. It will set you free from the condemnation of sin. Those of you who know, every single time you sin against God, your conscience is going to condemn you. Satan's going to condemn you. Satan's going to remind you that you just did that. You're no good. You were a bad person. So every single time when you commit a sin after that, it's like a drug addict. You are high for that moment, and after that moment, your desire is satisfied, you hate yourself. Shame and guilt. And also, Jesus Christ will set you free from your past baggage. We all have history. The Satan's going to keep pointing to you like, look at what have you done before. Look at the scars you have on your body from the abuse that you've received, people who hurt you. Or the evil behavior that you did to other people. Look at that, the scars on another person. You're no good. And that condemnation will just stay with you. But Jesus said, God said, if anyone in Christ is a new creation, it always is past and everything is new. You don't have to worry about the past because Jesus already paid for that. When you occasionally fall into sin, and you also know that God or Jesus already paid for that, so you'll be walking with a free, a sense of peace, a sense of joy that nothing can bring you. And then Jesus said, this is how you live the life free to a life to its fullness. That you'll be free, and you know that it should be free from the world's influences. You're free from anxiety, your peer pressure, worry, and fear. And then you'll be free to function the way God has designed you to function. I'm telling you, God has a purpose for every single one of us. Every single one of us will have to glorify him. But we are corrupted right now. We cannot function the same way. It's just like a plane is designed to fly. But you might have a part that is corrupted. You're grounded. You cannot fly. You're grounded at an airport, or just keep running on the runway, you cannot take off. And Jesus comes and set you free so that you can live according to the image that God is putting us into the image of God. It's supposed to be full of glory. And then, of course, finally, we set us free from eternal death and free of that. And that Jesus said that if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now, but this freedom is available only through the personal relationship with Christ. It means we have to walk with him, we have to follow him. not by your privilege, not by your heritage. So what can we learn from this passage today, Christian, or believers? Because as I was reading this passage, I was praying, I see a lot of believing Jews in today's churches. A lot. We believe. That's why most of you are here. Otherwise, why would you wake up 7 o'clock in the morning and come here and spend the whole, most of the day here? There's so many things for you to do out there. Because you believe. Especially the people that come back week after week, because what the Bible says makes sense to you. That's very nice. That's very nice. That's because the Holy Spirit already opened your eyes. You can see. You don't disagree. You are privileged. You're privileged because the Holy Spirit is working in your life. And then we have more privileges. We are privileged to have Jesus' redemptive grace available for us. We're even more privileged than the Jews. Because when Jesus was talking to them at the time, Jesus had not been crucified yet. They did not even know about the cross. For us, we already knew. The cross is a history. So we are even more privileged. And then we have the privilege to have the opportunity to hear the gospel. We have access to the Bible. There's so many people in this world, they cannot do that. They don't have that privilege. We don't appreciate it. A lot of countries, they don't allow you to have Bible. They don't allow you to talk about the gospel. They go to Israel. I'm telling you, Christians are hated over there. And we are privileged to have the intellectual capacity to understand the gospel. And then we are privileged to have the church, especially if you're in the Church of Living Grace here. It's a wonderful spiritual community. Like, look at the people around you. They're so loving. We can help each other to tell them that you're loving. You're lovable too. That we can help to further our understanding so that we can help one another to continue to grow in our faith and our understanding of the gospel. And we also privileged we have baptism and Holy Communion. We're going to have Holy Communion later on. The baptism and Holy Communion, that from time to time, we are reminded that how blessed we are, and then we can also proclaim our faith to the people around us. But all these privileges cannot save us from the bondage unless we take advantage of this privilege. I'm not afraid to tell you that you could be baptized, you could be partaking in the Holy Communion every single week, and you don't miss any Sunday services. Okay? When you see Jesus, and he say, "I don't know you. You're children of the devil. You're even lying to yourself. You're even kidding yourself." The reason he said that, because you have not tried to put his word in your own practice. We have to convert our head knowledge, our superficial faith, into a heart knowledge, genuine faith. We need to follow Jesus. But how do you follow him? Let me tell you. You all know the formula of anything, because I've been saying this every single week. Right? Maybe next time I have someone else here to take it over from here. First of all, you got to study his word. If you don't know his word, how do you follow him? You got to know his instructions. You got to study his word. So ask yourself, do you read the Bible regularly? First of all. If your answer is no, you can't follow Jesus. No way. You don't tell me that you're following Jesus. I don't know. You're following somebody, but I don't know whom you're following. If you don't read the Bible regularly, you're not following Jesus. Do you attend Sunday school and Bible study group regularly? If you don't, then you might have a problem, because you might have a false understanding, incomplete understanding of the word. Again, I don't know who are you following. And then secondly, you know the word now. Then you have to reflect on his word. Don't just read the word. Reflect on it. Spend some time to meditate and see how God wants you to apply the word on you every day. Now, we have sermon review every month. Mind you, my sermon review is not just to refresh your memory. You have very good memory. And I don't care how I refresh yours, you're going to forget about next month. I'm not asking you to approve or critique the sermon either. I'm asking you to review the sermon only under one reason. You can guess the reason. To remind each other to apply in your daily walk. That's the only reason. Otherwise, it just becomes empty talk. What do you think about Jesus setting people to come and review this sermon? What do you think about freedom? There are four different types of freedom. They go on and talk about it. How would Jesus set you free? And you talk about another 30 minutes. And then after 2 hours, you walk out of the room. You know what? You have not done yourself any good. You have to reflect and apply on it. And then occasionally, for new Christians, maybe more often than you want, you would stumble and sin. And that's when you confess and repent. Set yourself free from the condemnation of transgressions because Jesus already paid for your sin. Jesus is not looking for you to live a sinless life. He's looking at your heart. He wants to see if you have a desire. And that's all that counts. And then from time to time, you take inventory and to see how you are doing. And that's how you grow and become more Christ-like every week. And you gradually be saved.